Hi, and welcome once again. This is Mike Moody coming to you from near Asheboro, North Carolina, with our Bible study for today. We're continuing in our series on the life and times of David. If you have the Bible before you, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. We would continue on in this second movement of the life of David. As you recall, the first movement of David would have been from the middle of 1 Samuel chapter 16 to the end of that book, where we see David in waiting as Saul was still upon the throne. And yet we then see that in 2 Samuel, David is now upon the throne and Saul has died. These early chapters we've considered already, with a few applications along the way, the preparation time of David as he's setting things in order, setting things right, as it were, for him to be upon the throne. The scripture tells us that he ruled for 40 years. Now, 33 of those years was when he was over all of Israel. The first 6.5 years, we see he was only over Judah. But now the time has come to pass that David is ruling now in Jerusalem over all of Israel. And there's been an attitude of celebration as Israel and Judah have come together as one nation. And we find that as different situations had to be dealt with along the way, nonetheless, now we see this one David encouraged to be in Jerusalem. We find here in chapter 6 that it is time to continue to set things in order by bringing up the Ark of God. Now, the study of the Ark of God is a very interesting and detailed study. You look back and, for example, the times of Moses there in the wilderness. We see those last several chapters of the book of Exodus, chapter 25 to 40, much detail about the tabernacle and the things associated with that approach to God when in the wilderness. That would include, of course, the Ark of God. And as you see, whether it's the tabernacle or in the temple, we see much said about the ark. Often we see this ark as a symbol of the glory and the power of God, and a reminder of who we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, as this ark is representative there. As you think of the mercy seat upon the ark, and you think about how the Lord Jesus Christ is said to be our mercy seat, or we think of that word propitiation in the New Testament. He is the satisfaction. He has fully satisfied the righteous demands for the payment of sin, as he was the Lamb of God that paid for the sins of the world. And the Father was fully pleased with that sacrifice on the cross. He was the propitiatory sacrifice for us. He's our mercy seat. So when we think of this ark, as David is setting things in order, we find the call to bring the ark there to David and there in Jerusalem. So we find in these first 5 verses, this preparation time. It's been back in 1 Samuel 14 since we have seen the mention of the ark. And so as we'd like to read a few verses along the way here, verse 2, and David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal to Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Aho, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahoah went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made by fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and timbrels and cornets and cymbals. And so we find here this attitude of celebration. And yet, in verse 3, the way they moved the ark was with a new cart. So we find a problem. We find how they didn't go according to God's order and God's plan of how to move the ark. Instead, it was staves. They brought it here upon with a new cart. So God's work needs to be done God's way. And so we'll find here the sad situation when in the next verses in 6 and 7, Uzzah, he puts forth his hand to stay the ark, and we find that he dies. We'll come back to this as you move on through the text, and we'll realize that the ark eventually does get to Jerusalem. But at this time, we see in verses 6 to 11 the way that David responds. He's displeased at what happens. Here, one of the men die. You know, the ark doesn't get all the way to Jerusalem. It ends up with Obed-Edom for 3 months. And yet the scripture tells us that the Lord blessed Obed-Edom for having the ark. And so when you compare this chapter, actually 2 Samuel 6 compares with 1 Chronicles chapters 13, 15, and 16, many of those verses in those three chapters in 1 Chronicles. So really when you're looking at this chapter, it's a broader study to get the details, looking over in Chronicles. So with this, we think about the importance of the ark. And we also want to note how that David, as we've considered the ebbs and flow of his life and how he is in view of the Lord, his own personal relationship, here we see a positive. We see him desirous to have the ark of God in Jerusalem. And so as we drop down and pick up after David had been displeased about what happened, that Uzzah died through this touching of the ark and the inappropriate movement of it. Verse 12, it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertained unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it goes on to talk about how they were dancing and with a great vigor, and David was girded in a linen ephod at this time. And so when you read these passages here in 2 Samuel and over in 1 Chronicles, there's a lot said about how excited and how much celebration and the attitude of praise toward God in reference to the Ark of God being brought to the city of David. And so, to note a few things, as we see here that the way David is dressed is going to come up, and his dancing around. One of his wives, Michal, is going to be displeased at this. We won't talk about the background of perhaps why that was significant. But by and large, when you turn through these passages, you see so much about singing and praising God and offerings being made. This was a big deal. You know, in our hearts and lives, it should be a big deal when we think about things that speak of the Lord, about things that point out the significance of who our God is and what our Savior has done. For example, the blessed opportunity that we have to obey the Lord's dying command to remember Christ in his death. As he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And there is that pattern in the book of Acts, and as we see taught in epistles concerning the remembering of the Lord, the breaking of bread, and how important it is to come together and to remember the Lord Jesus in his death. It should be seen as a big deal to us. Our heart should overflow in desire to remember Christ in his death. So here we see the bringing of the ark. In David's day, this was very important, and those around him celebrated with him. And yet, there's the exception, his wife Michal. So we notice in verse 16 that Michal is not only his wife, but also a daughter of Saul. So we see that when she saw David leaping and dancing, verse 16, before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. So we'll come back to that in verse 20. Before that, notice verse 17 on down, and this parallels well what we find over in Chronicles about the things that were going on as far as the people praising God. It says this, and they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place, in his place, in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it, this tent, this tabernacle, and peace offerings before the Lord, burnt offerings. And so, as soon as David had made an end of offering, burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dwelt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel. It talks about how they interacted one with another and had the cake of bread and the various things in celebration. You know, over in 1 Chronicles 15 and there in verse 12, it's interesting to see how it mentions that they had prepared for the ark. As at the beginning of chapter 15, David prepared a place for the ark. And so at least twice over here we see that term. Or yes, in verse 3, another time it speaks of him preparing. You know, are we those that prepare for things that are significant? Things that are important to the Lord should be important to us. Gathering together in the Lord's name. Gathering together in remembering the Lord. Gathering together in having the Word of God taught. Coming together in fellowship with the Lord's people. Coming together in prayer. You know, you can narrow that down in a nutshell and see that pattern in Acts 2:42 is the early disciples continued together, the apostles in the apostles' doctrine, that is teaching, and the breaking of bread. You think of worship, think of fellowship, that partnership among each other around Christ, and in prayers. These are aspects of the New Testament gathering. And so things that are important to the Lord should be important to us. And so we find here there was a preparation. David wanted to be ready. He wanted things to be set right now that he's upon the throne. And that was with the priority of honoring the Lord. So as Israel was the Lord God, Jehovah's people, his nation, we see that here's the throne, here's the king, and yet here's the emphasis upon the ark of God. Well, as we notice here in that preparation, down further in Chronicles 15, it talks about how they had, as the Levites bore the ark, there were these singers. You know, for time's sake, I won't read through all this, but it's neat to read all that was going on. The singers and those that were around the ark praising the Lord. It speaks in other portions about doorkeepers. It talks about those that were skillful later on in Chronicles 15 that were helping with this time, this situation, this opportunity to praise the Lord. Now let's think about how each of us as believers, if we know Christ as our Savior, then we have been given spiritual enablements or spiritual gifts that we might be able to use those abilities within the body of Christ. And so whatever way that we fit into the body of Christ, as a hand or a foot, is that illustration of a body, remembering the Lord Jesus is the only head of the church, but we fit into the body of Christ and we work together. It's a very similar thought to back in the preparation of the tabernacle and those that were behind the scenes building the parts of the tabernacle or preparing the garments of the high priest. You know, some of those that were not as well known, they weren't the high priest. They weren't those that were ministering inside the tabernacle in the same fashion, but there were those that prepared the materials of the tabernacle. So we find that we in the body of Christ, in like manner, we have different spiritual enablements and gifts that we can fit in together. Not everybody is necessarily in front of a crowd and being a speaker or what have you. Not everyone is going to be an elder in the assembly. But behind the scenes, there are so many valuable aspects that can be expressed through the body of Christ, fitting together, as Corinthians speaks about being workers together. You know, when we see as well other situations, not only there with the tabernacle, but such as in the revival time later on in the Old Testament, we see Ezra and Nehemiah's day, when it was time to come back. The decree had been made after 70 years captivity, time to come back and to rebuild the temple. And as well later on to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. And there was that sense of the singers being there. The various workers were there. The materials were there. And so we find God's work being done God's way. How important this is. Did we seek through God's word, His instruction, His patterns in Scripture, and seek to follow God's work, doing it God's way? May we seek the Lord, be in His word, and follow Him. Well, back to the story here. We originated in 2 Samuel 6. And we left off one thought, the attitude of Michal, David's wife. So if we go back to that text, we pick up in verse 20. And we see these last verses of 2 Samuel 6. We read, David returned to bless his house, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovereth himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself." So, you know, think about this. Michal, she had a father, Saul, who had been king. Remember, he was rejected of the Lord eventually, but he was a man head and shoulders above the rest. He was a man, kind of the counterpart to David. Saul was a man after the flesh. He was very concerned with appearance. He was very concerned with these outward things. Yet there was David raised up by God, a man after God's own heart. And the Lord emphasized earlier in this story about how the Lord doesn't look on the outward, but upon the heart. And so here's David, desirous to see the ark come in, to praise God, to see things set right in Jerusalem. And yet here's his wife, and there's a lot of kind of difficulty in the history of their relationship between David and Michal. Yet she grew up under a father who was looking at the outward, who end up trying to kill David time and again. Jealousy and such as this. So you can imagine when David kind of was dressed down, so to speak. He wasn't in his full kingly attire. And here he is dancing around. To her, she referred to this as shameless. And so most of the time, I find this interesting, David, of course, would not be negative toward Saul. Even though the many things Saul did against him, trying to kill him and such, David would respect and honor the role that Saul was in, being allowed of God to be king for a period of time. But in this case, notice this time he makes a bit of a response. You know, when Micah is displeased, he says in verse 21, "It was before the Lord who chose me before thy father, and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of Israel, over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord." And so he makes a little reference there to her father. Makes it known, you know, I'm the king now. And I'm dancing before the Lord. So you remember with Michal, how that Saul kind of used her as a pawn, as a way of trying to get to David. And yet Michal would help David escape in a case. In these things, but one time she set this, I don't know if it's like an idol or some image there to deceive those that were looking for David. She set it there in their house, kind of covering up to make it kind of look like David was, you know, around. But nonetheless, that makes you wonder, was her heart really after the Lord God of Israel? Or did she have split loyalties? Was there idolatry going on in that house? Where was her heart? So here now, she's not as excited about the ark coming in as David is, and as the rest of Israel. She's displeased. And so the comparison between David and Saul in her mind, well, David responds, it's time to be excited. We're praising the Lord. And so the chapter concludes by pointing out that Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. Barren. No children. So it didn't turn out well with considering her attitude as opposed to David, a man after God's own heart. You know, before we conclude, over in 1 Chronicles, we move over now to chapter 16. It gives us a lot more information about this story. And this is a wonderful chapter, speaking of the praising of God and all that's going on, that these Levites that were appointed, and that you have people praising the Lord. But there's several verses here, from verse 7 to 36, with David, this psalm, this song of praise that he expresses. Some of it I'll read here. Verse 7, on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac. And he confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee I will give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. And he goes on. Later, he's talking about in verse 27, glory and honor are in his presence, strength and gladness are in his place. In verse 29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come up before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Oh, these are wonderful words. Words of praise and worship and adoration to the Lord God in heaven, the God of Israel. So as we close our Bible study for today, thinking about the events of 2 Samuel 6 along with connected passages in 1 Chronicles, we're reminded of a couple of key things. We see the ark of God, speaking of the glory and the power of God, and these things that remind us of our Savior. And yet David, his heart, a man after God's own heart, he desired for Israel and himself to praise the Lord. And yet there's also in the backdrop, the opposite attitude of his wife, Michal. So we ask ourselves today, are we of that attitude of David, seeking to praise the Lord and to see it as a big deal that we remember the Lord, that we praise the Lord, and we give his name the glory that it is due? Thank you again for joining us with our Bible study. Hope to see you again the next time.